calling this preach this morning what I believe God is calling the preach, and it is serving the purposes of God. And I want us to hear that God is speaking. And I want to encourage you, as I encourage everyone everywhere, please make notes. Make notes. Write down. If there's something the Lord is highlighting, make a note. Write it down. So, as Kevin mentioned, we are speaking on corporate prayer. And if I randomly had to ask any one of us, do you think that prayer is important? I would be very surprised if anyone says, no, I don't think so. So I'm stating the obvious. And the question is, why would God want us to be speaking on corporate prayer and state the obvious? Why would we actually even speak about this, which is so fundamental, so foundational, which you probably would have been doing before you were saved? It's like there's a fair chance that most of us here were praying to God before you were saved, just because we know this is the right thing to do. Now, it might be that we just need to revisit foundational stuff, or it might be that the opposition for us doing what we should be doing, the opposition to us knowing, doing what we know we should be doing, is so much that we are caught in this thing which Paul says, the very thing I want to do, I can't. It's like I'm caught in this frustrating reality that the very things that I want to do, I end up not doing. And so let's trust that by the Spirit of God, that wherever we are caught up in something, wherever we are not catching the flow of God, that there will be a breakthrough this morning. And I want us really to be laying hold of God together. Because if we're just listening to a motivational speech, we are missing the point. Because what we're actually trying to do is we want to tap into a river that's flowing from a throne and that will empower us. What we actually want to do is we want to touch God more than we want to listen to a man, right? And that's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to bring a good speech from Cassie. I want to be lost in this thing of all of us trying to reach into the resources of God. Can we collectively reach into God? Can we do that? If you can, pray in the Spirit and just let's trust together that there will be a breakthrough on every level where God wants to draw us in and draw us through and give breakthroughs, right? When we gather for breakthrough. So Acts 13 verse 36, right about David. I think it's Paul preaching, and he says, for David, after he had served the purposes of God in his own generation, fell asleep, was laid with his father, and his body disappeared. Serving the purposes of God in our generation is totally available to every single one of us. David was found as a shepherd boy. He was found out there in the nothingness, but something in him connected to God and was sufficient for him to walk with the Lord and serve the purposes. And I want to encourage you, young and old, having failed many a times or actually having been faithful, irrespective of where you are, it is within your reach in Christ to serve the purposes of God in this generation of ours. And not only is it available, it is necessary. I want to encourage every one of us. We need you. And in the context of prayer, we need your prayers. We need it. God wants it. For some reason, he binds the outplay of heaven here on earth to the prayers of the saints, to our convictions. For some reason, God limits himself to our prayers. God only knows why. But that is to some extent a reality which we find ourselves in. And I want to say, dear beloved saints, I'm an ordinary man like you. I'm a man just like you. I've got a job to fulfill. I've got things to do. I've got a struggle. I've got all kinds of things I don't understand. I don't come like we've got it sorted. But I come with the conviction that we have to do it. And I want to share that in order that every one of us, at least, in the very least, will be with the same conviction that we have to do it. And come hell or high water, we will do it. Amen. We'll be found in the river. We'll be found on our knees. So, how do I serve the purposes of God? I was speaking to Marty last night, and she said, well, just do whatever he tells you. I think that's a good answer. So just do whatever he tells you. But I'm going to make it a bit complicated and ask the question, but what is he telling you? So what is the purpose? What is God saying? Now in Matthew 26, there is this verse. Jesus, I think, is speaking to his disciples, and he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The reason why I'm picking this verse is the following. Many times we are doing the praying quickly, like we're going for it. But there's a watch and pray. What is watching? Watching is that I don't necessarily know what the purposes of God are. I don't necessarily know what the emphasis is he's got this morning and today, what he wants me to be doing. And he actually wants us, even as Habakkuk says, station ourselves and watch. So what the point that I'm making is there's an inquiry component to prayer, which I want us to increase in, more than requiring. Inquiring more than requiring. So it's not only God, I want you to do this and that and that and that, and I've got a whole list for you for the day. God, I'm going to keep you busy with my requests, and I'll see you tomorrow morning. But shifting to a place of, I'm going to minister to you and come to the position of, Lord Jesus, what is it that you want to do today? What is the emphasis? How are you building your church? You know, I'm confronted with the thing that I might be wanting to build the church of God different to what he wants. And in that, I might be restricting, hindering, or even damaging. I'm aware that this morning, this preach can damage this church. And we don't want to do that. So we need to watch. And one of the beautiful things when we get together is it's easier to watch. Why? Because you can be listening to other guys going for it. And it helps you. It sort of gives a safe place for watching. Watch and pray. I'm not going into how you do it by yourself, for that's not the question now. But if we are thinking, serving the purposes of God, and I'm coming in with corporate prayer, then you're thinking like, how do you connect the two? Now my question is, biblically, do you think that God emphasizes prayer? Absolutely. Okay? Right through at least the New Testament, but definitely so from example also in the Old Testament, there's a great emphasis on seeking and praying. Seeking, and it's all over. But the question is, what kind of emphasis? And I just pull a scripture from 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, Paul is writing to beloved Timothy, and he's saying, listen here, Timothy, I left you at Ephesus for a number of things. I want you to correct. These are the challenges you've got. And it says, you've got to build the church. And then he starts off the first verse in chapter 2. These things of chapter 1 being so, you needing to sort of run and save the church to some extent. These things being so, I urge that you pray. Before you try and correct the wrong doctrine, before you silence, before you organize, before you appoint, before there's anything else, I want you to arrange everyone to be praying. So Timothy will lead that, but Timothy is not the first one or the only one to be praying. Can you hear that? I want it... I urge that to some extent, Timothy, I want you to arrange the church. This is the first thing you need to do. See that the guys pray. Everyone needs to be praying. And then it continues. Numerous verses in 1 Timothy 2, which it would be worthwhile to look at, but which I don't have time now. So the point is, the place of praying is emphasized as first of all. It's foundational. It's the beginning. It's like, without this, we don't build any further. It's like, we lay the cornerstone of prayer, And then we do the rest of trying to bring kingdom on earth. First of all. First of all. First of all. First of all. Now, Kevin mentioned that we cannot be praying or have prayer meetings as such all the time. And I just want to qualify that for a moment, because I know what he's meaning. He says, listen here, I also have got to see to dental things. I also have to wash myself or see that man is all right. Or I've got to do, I can't just be at the prayer meeting 24/7, right? And we're all on the same page. However, the question is, does God instruct to an amount of prayer? Quickly, survey. An amount of prayer. What does the Bible say? How much should you be praying? All the time, in all things. All the time. All the time. Unanimous. At least the first row is in agreement. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now that short, a little verse, it's the second shortest verse in the Bible, is something that confronts me with an impossibility. I myself, I'm confronted with like, what on earth does it mean? How does it look like in 2019 to pray without ceasing? Who's with me on this? Can you, has anyone wondered, how do you pray without ceasing? Or do we go like, yeah, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, in everything give thanks, and let's go, and I've finished 1 Thessalonians. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. How do you pray without ceasing? And the reality is, we can't be at a prayer meeting all the time, but we can pray without ceasing, or God is teasing. All right? Either he's just dangling a carrot that is totally unreachable, or there is a reality, a spiritual reality, where when we are sleeping, and when we wake up, and when we are with our spouse, and when we are at work, and when we are in the sports field, and when we are with our mates, and when we are just having me time, there is some reality of praying all the time, some spiritual reality, and it cannot be with words. It's impossible, for else I wouldn't be able to speak to a person. It's impossible that it's with words. It's different, but it's available. And I just want to throw it out there. There's a prayer reality available to every one of us, which we have to tap in. Amen? And it's a praying without ceasing. God help us. The reason why I think God needs to help us is not merely to fulfill a scripture, but praying without ceasing comes in the context of an immense need. And it says, you know what? What God is calling you up to do is just totally impossible unless you are praying without ceasing. Unless it's foundational to you. And we will be frustrated with and unable to do what God has called. We will be unable to do the purposes of God in our generation if we can't pray without ceasing. Isn't that frustrating? It's like, but then we can't. Cannot be. We can. Somehow. And I'm asking the Lord, and I want to urge us. Lord, how does it work? How does praying without ceasing work in my generation? Good. That's a freebie. Let's look at praying together. So I'm just going to look at one or two things. I wish I could have told you that the whole of the New Testament in every book says we should pray together. I wish it was like that. It would have given me so much, you know, meat that I could bring. But the reality is, the Bible doesn't prescribe corporate prayer specifically much. Actually, only here and there. It doesn't prescribe it, but it describes it a lot. Okay? So when the Bible speaks about prayer, and prayer is emphasized throughout nearly every book in the New Testament, it refers to prayer in general. It doesn't specify this is corporate, this is personal, this is corporate. But I can tell you this, that most of the Bible is written to corporate and not to individual. So I know the plans that I have for you is not for you. It's for you. Do you know that? I know the plans that I have for you. Corporate. And most of the promises in Scripture are for us corporate. And most of God's relating, I will be their God and you will be my man. No, 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 no. You will be my people. So I'm safe to say that although it's not prescribed as you've got to pray corporately all the time, since the context of the Bible is the people of God, I can surely say that much of it will refer to us praying together. Okay? Matthew 18 helps us with a little bit of a look into this. Matthew 18 speaks of a symphony. And verse 19 in Matthew 18, it says the following. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth. Now, you need to stick with me. This is a quick exercise. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathering in my name, there am I among them. Three things I want to highlight. Agree, it will be done, there am I. Agree, it will be done, there am I. I'm going to take it from the back and ask the following question. Everybody and anybody who's heard me teach on this, please keep quiet now. For the rest of us, there am I. My question is, do you agree with me that God is promising his presence? Jesus is promising his presence where two or three are gathered in his name. All right? It's a reward. It says, if you are willing to go across the funnies of your brother and your sister and actually pray with them, like if you're willing to face that thing, I'll come to you. That'll be my gift to you. So although it might be quirky and funny and difficult, I'm going to be there. And that's your reward. Now here's the question. Can I give you a reward that you've already got? Beautiful. Thank you for that answer. Okay. Can I entice you? Like, David has got a car. Okay. I think you've got a car. You've got a car. David has got a car. Okay, David. This car of yours, it will be your reward if you come for the prayer meeting. And he's thinking like, but I've got the car. It can't be my, it's like, I can't reward him with something he's already got. So all of us know that if we are born again, we've got the presence, the indwelling presence of God on the inside. How is it then that God says, I will be there? Isn't he there with us in any case? Like, when you're alone, is God with you? Yeah. So how does this work? Why would he say, there am I? It's like, I've got you already, Lord. I don't need them. You can't draw me with there am I because you're with me already. You are, as a matter of fact, you're on the inside. What is he saying? Any volunteers? Hands. What is God saying? What is Jesus saying? What should we be hearing? What do you think? Any thoughts? This is the time for you to speak. Absolutely. Okay, so the point that God is making is that the presence of God is not the same in every place. There is a more or a less of the presence of God. And if we think like God is everywhere and he's always with me, and you don't understand that when we get together, there's a more of God that I can access, which I can never access on my own. Then we understand it. None of us has got more presence by himself, more of the presence of God, than when we are together, that person included. Every person, the guy who walks the closest to God, Elijah, walking with God, calling down fire, doesn't have more of the presence by himself than when he gathers with the saints and along with them in a symphony, in harmony, calls out to God. There is more of God available to that individual. And I want to encourage us that none of us should think like my inner room is a greater place for the presence of God than what is available when the saints get together. Can we have an amen on that? This is what God is saying. At least. It seems to me this is what God is saying. You're welcome to disagree, as long as you've got scripture for what you're thinking. All right, when we were in Switzerland, there was this one man, a gentleman that came and said, Andrew was preaching on the Holy Spirit. He says, I don't agree on this. So Andrew said, like, let's look here. Say, for example, the river is blue. And so the man would read it. He'd say, yes, but I don't believe it. That's like, but it says the river is blue. And he would just go with, but I don't believe it. And we must not be like that. It's like, let's agree with scripture. If God says there's more of his presence available and there's no contradictory scripture, then that's what we'll be settled for. Good. The word agree there is a word in Greek called symphoneia. It refers to making a collective melody, sound. It is what we would call a symphony. So if we think back symphony quickly, then you would a harp and what, stringed instruments? Harp is stringed instruments. Okay, blowing instruments, some other bells and whistles and whatever. And all of them wouldn't make the same sound, and all of them wouldn't be playing at the same. But they will be listening to one another. They will be looking at the conductor. They will be trying to make one sound together. They will be playing one song, though they are various instruments. And in principle, corporate prayer is this. It's one prayer through various instruments. And we have to be listening to one another. I'd love to come back on this, time permitting. But at the moment, we don't have time for that. The third thing is, it will be done. So about us praying together, is we are trying to make a harmony in the sight of God, beautiful to the angels. And then there is something which says, it will be done. It has to do with a confirmation that you find in the corporate prayer meeting, which you will never have by yourself. Now, I know that the Spirit will give it. It's a witness on the inside. So the Spirit, when you're praying by yourself, I'm all there. You pray and then suddenly there's a, I know, I've been heard. I know that. But you won't have this witness, which is the witness of another brother or sister saying amen when you're by yourself. That amen, that agreement, that yes, I hear that too in the Spirit, which you get from a brother or sister, ignites faith if you know your word. Why? Because you know it will be done. And suddenly there's a rise in your heart. It's like me and Johan, we've heard together. Me and Kevin, we are seeing the same thing. Me and whoever, Jane. Is there a Jane here? Okay, good. Whoever, it's like we are hearing the same thing. And the moment I hear that, my faith rises. It will be done. And you know what I find when we start praying together? It feels to me like we're in this spiral that goes up. Because I start to pray and I say something about the beauty of God and someone else says yes. We say, God, you are able to do it. And there's nothing in our country that you cannot change. There's no person that you cannot reach. And you just find that I'm climbing some ladder. And that thing breaks open something in the spiritual realm when we do it well together. Now, I know that for us to be together doesn't mean we'll be doing it well. I'm all there. But if we get it right, there's nothing that flattens opposition like a good prayer meeting that we do together. Amen. Oh, man. So then, if a corporate prayer time, that's just a sentence I'm going to read. If a corporate prayer time is not more than the sum of the individual prayers, we've missed the mark. Here goes. We've got four people here in the front row. All of them pray one prayer at a time. It's four prayers. If at the end of their time of praying together, we haven't established and we haven't accomplished something in the spiritual realm, because it's about accomplishing, right? The purposes of God. It's about performing the purposes of God. They are all in this. We're going to accomplish we're going to serve the purposes of God. This is what we're going to get together, like Tuesday night, because Monday we're all going to be here. So Tuesday night, we're going to get together And we're going to pray. If we don't serve the purposes of God together, better or more than if the four of us were praying for the same time by ourselves, we've missed the mark. Okay? How is that? Is our together praying, we need to find one another, that together there's a sound. And that will be more. But if everyone prays his own thing, and we are not serving and lifting and breaking through together with the prayers, we've missed the mark. And that should be our aim. All right? We have to get further than the sum. We've got to get to the synergy of praying together. So just quickly, oh man, those minutes are ticking, eh? Somehow you need to stop that big clock, Kevin. Okay. Let's just quickly see in the book of Acts. So it's descriptive now. It describes of how the early believers were praying. So I'm just throwing out one or two scriptures for us to be on the same page. What did the believers do before the Holy Spirit was poured out? Do you know? Acts 1:14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. With one accord, the word there is homothumadon. That sounds like I know Greek, eh? But I don't. Homothumadon. One word in English that would describe it is unanimously. It comes from homos, which means at the same time or place, at the same place and time. Thumos, with passion. In principle, we are all together at the same time, at the same place, with the same passion. We are unanimous in what we're trying to achieve. We are going for the purposes of God in our generation. And they were doing that before they had the Holy Spirit, before it was poured out. What did they do after the Holy Spirit was poured out? Acts 2:42. Yeah, I skipped that one. So Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the prayers. That devoted themselves is a corporate context. And can I say, having discussed it with some of my Greek friends, is this is more corporate than personal. They devoted themselves together to breaking bread, together to the doctrine, to the fellowship, and the prayers. What did they do when they were persecuted and threatened? Oh, wait. Let's stop it there. After the Holy Spirit was poured out, they devoted themselves. Who was that? Who was that? The disciples? But can you see, can you agree with me, it included the 3,000. There were 3,000 who were saved on that day. How old were they in the Spirit? One day, 2 days, days old. They devoted themselves. I want to urge you that this is not for the seasoned prayer warriors. This is for every single one of us. If there's one of us that hasn't encountered the Lord, and today your encounter is there, and it breaks open for you that Jesus is alive, and that He's real, and that He wants to come and inhabit your life, tomorrow's prayer meeting is the place you need to be. And it's the place where your voice needs to be heard. Because you're qualified by the King Himself. All right. What did they do when they were persecuted and threatened? You guess it. Acts 4:24. They went and with one passion, at the same time, at the same place, they were lifting their voices. And they lifted their voices together. That's 4:24. It's the exact same word. That together is homa thumadon. What did they do when Peter was in prison? You guess it. They were praying together. And you know what? Peter didn't know about the prayer meeting. But Peter knew this when he walked out. He couldn't have known. There was no SMS. There was no WhatsApp. But he went to a house. He said, I'm convinced they will be at this house and they will be praying together. Do you know why? Because that wasn't the first prayer meeting. That was at Mary's house. He knew where to go. He says, I'm convinced somewhere they are praying for me. And so Peter, this is miraculously, Peter comes out of jail, but he knows, my friends, they will be praying It was in the night. It probably was late because the guards were sleeping already. Can I say it probably was in the early hours of the morning? But there were many saints and they were petitioning God. He said, God, you have to come through for us. And that's exactly what he did. But you know what? It was not only when they were persecuted and when they were in prison, but when there was peace. Acts 13 verse 2 says the following. While they were worshiping the Lord with... I'm actually aware of... It's different in some of the other translations, but I called this ESV. So let me read it. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, etc. This is in a context of a church where everything is happening already. There's no persecution. They're not nowhere near Israel. They're nowhere near the Jews that are hating them. Their church is pumping. They have seen revival. They've seen an outpour of the spirits. They've got power gifts there. I mean, like, this church is flying. The church in Antioch. And do you know what they were doing? They were fasting and ministering to the Lord together. They understood that it's not yesterday that's going to determine today or tomorrow, but how we tap into the Lord right now. And they were giving themselves to watching. And then they heard the Spirit saying. And I really appreciate it, Kevin, just how you were waiting on the Spirit. That's just so like, oh, wow. So just a few questions. Were the corporate prayers limited to times of need? Absolutely not. Were the corporate prayers only done by the older Christians or leaders? Absolutely not. Were the times of prayer only spontaneous? Absolutely not. They were arranged. As a matter of fact, when Peter and John are on their way to the temple and they raise the cripple in Acts 3, I think, it says at the hour of prayer. There was an hour of prayer and everybody knew it. And they were gathering together at a specific location. And I'm absolutely convinced that our times of praying together should be spontaneous. Totally convinced. So tomorrow night cannot be the only corporate prayer in Edgemeet. It cannot be. It's got to happen all through the month. Tomorrow is just one of the nights that is arranged to spark something or concentrate something, stir something. But throughout this month of February, there needs to happen things, spontaneous and or arranged. Am I right? Absolutely. And probably it is happening. But I'm also convinced that it should be happening more, or the Lord wouldn't have emphasized this. And I want to encourage you, if you've got this thing on your heart, that I know the Lord, I've been walking with Him, I've got this relationship and it's beautiful, draw someone else into it. So let us pray together. Don't just do it by yourself. There's more power and more presence available if you are willing to inconvenience yourself with a frail and fragile brother or sister. So let us just quickly summarize. Why would we be doing, and I know it's 11 o'clock, at least on that watch. Hey, and on my watch, and on this watch, on that big watch too. So let's summarize. It's just a con. There's lots of points. Now you need to take notes. All right, but here's it. I'm landing. Corporate prayer is more beauty. In corporate prayer, there's more beauty available if we get it right. I know there's an if, but if we get it right, there's more beauty available in corporate prayer than in personal. Just as much as a symphony of all instruments, like a band, is more than a guitar. If you get it right, there's more beauty available. There's more presence available. Matthew 18. There's more power available in corporate prayer. And I would also link it to the Matthew 18, just with regards to this. If you can find the agreement, you find the yes. If you can find the yes in God, you've got the manifestation. There's more faith that will be built in corporate prayer meetings than what you will find by yourself. And there is, obviously, you build faith by yourself. That's what Jude 19 would teach that. But there's more faith if you get a corporate prayer meeting right. There's a greater display of unity if we get a corporate meeting right. If we get the unity thing right, there's an additional blessing, an additional thing. Psalm 133 promises that there will be a commanded blessing, which you wouldn't find in your own personal room, if we get it, if we get that unity. And there's a beauty of unity here already. But work it out in the corporate prayer meetings. There is a practicing of humility. Oh, how precious is that when we get together to pray. You know that our baseline temptation is pride. Our baseline. There's a desire to be more prominent than someone else. To be elevated. I'm a little bit higher than Ulrich, you know. It's a temptation. And a corporate prayer meeting where I prefer and strengthen, where rather than saying something of my own, I try and support what he's praying. I'm listening. Say, can I hear something of God and bring you my amen and make your prayer sound better? I practice humility, and it is so good for our spirits. You can't do it by yourself. It's a social activity. Corporate prayer meetings are great for getting to know people according to the Spirit. It so helps me to pray together with someone because I hear where they are, which I can't do, or it's much more difficult if we're just here in Connect Room. It sharpens hearing. If we are together and you hear something and you're not sure, and then your brother prays it, or then your sister mentions it, and suddenly you know, but that was the Lord. It sharpens our ability to hear the Lord. It creates perspective because suddenly you find it's not only my view, it's a valid view here which Sean is bringing. It's like, hey, David has got something which I need. It's more balanced. And then lastly, corporate prayer clears the heavens like nothing else. If we get it right, that thing pierces. That thing, and it's not by how loud we shout. It's not in physical volume. It's how much we agree. That thing breaks the yoke. So I've written this last thing. Please listen to it. Corporate prayer is one of the most foundational activities his successful end-time church will be engaged in. Corporate prayer is one of the most foundational activities at the bottom, right there. His successful end-time church will be engaged in. One of the most, it's not one of the elementary that we can forget. It's one of the most foundational, his end-time church. The end-time church that sees Jesus come will major on praying together. All saints, every single one, need to see it modeled, taught, and be comfortable in it. Every single saint. Praying together promotes the unity of the Spirit, brings greater perspective, and thus deals with petty personal issues. It draws the promised presence, unleashes the power of agreement, and aids the prayer of faith, which is what the church so desperately needs. If, please take note of this, if we are too busy to pray together, we are too busy. Turn to your neighbor, to your wife, your husband, your friend, and then you tell her or him, if we are too busy to pray together, we are too busy. Turn to someone behind you.